This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody, happy Friday. TGIF, as they say. As long as the G in TGIF doesn't refer to that piece of shit with horns, fangs, and claws. great ya-ya. Anyway, we'll thank that piece of shit for anything. except for, you know, staying the fuck out of your life and shoving his own head up his ass and breathing deep. Anyway, I'm in a Yahweh bashing mood. I'm overdue for some Yahweh bashing. We'll have to do that soon. I just put some very, very interesting notes together yesterday along that line, actually. I'll have to get to that pretty soon here. Although, as we get closer to the 15th anniversary of the biggest of false flag operations, I'm going to spend some time on that. Got a series coming up on brand new 9/11 related material I haven't covered before. Very interesting stuff. Just when you think you've heard it all, Christ, I wrote a book on it, and yet I missed quite a few things. So we'll be doing that soon as well. But anyway, the topic I'm referring to, I just finished them last night. In fact, I thought I was done. I put the notes together a few days ago. And, all of a sudden last night, I made a big mistake. I went off of Thai food and, I got some Thai tea, which I really like. I try not to drink it too much because it's loaded with caffeine. Especially in the evening, you know, it was like 7, 8 o'clock when I ate. And anytime I do that, I should have known. I had forgotten. Anytime I have, a caffeine drink like that, and I really don't do it often. But anyway, sure enough, I was wired and was wide awake. But, you know, it worked out because I got some stuff done. I got an idea. I'm like, geez, I didn't even... Technically, I didn't finish the coverage of that topic. I didn't approach it from a biblical standpoint. That will really complete the picture. Actually, I don't want to mention what the topic is. I'll leave you hanging on that, only because it'll give the whole thing away. I need to wait to actually cover it, but it's gonna blow you away. It blew me away. Anyway. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We were quoting from these pamphlets created by a tribe member, naturally, that were dumped on Russian soldiers as they were preparing to enter Germany. And, you know, encouraging them to kill, kill, kill en masse, just slaughter the Germans at will. Have at it. Have a good time. The more you kill, the better. You have a license to kill as many as you want. Rape them along the way. And that's exactly what they did. Like I said, guys, even if there were those among them that weren't predisposed to do that. They either, you know, turned a blind eye to it, looked the other way, or I would venture to say, if there were any of them that had a conscience, they probably just shot themselves because the intimidation factor was so high, and they were probably afraid that if they didn't participate, never mind turn the other way, they probably didn't have the option to turn the other way. They were probably pressured to participate, and if you don't, we'll shoot you too. Anyway, you know, that's how it goes, isn't it? They know this too, and that's why they come up with bullshit like cooperative learning, because they know when you break kids up in a classroom into small groups, the lowest common denominator is always going to prevail, and the peer pressure factor will always kick in. That's why they come up with that shit. They want to train kids. Oh, they don't come out and tell them that openly. Parents would see through that and start to raise opposition to it. No, it's very subtle. And perhaps teachers don't even know that that's the objective. But when they talk about behavioral objectives, that's exactly what the fuck they're talking about. To get your kids to conform to peer pressure, to get used to doing that. So as they get older in life, they'll do it then as well. The pressure that's put on is always at the hand of the most obnoxious, unscrupled, pain-in-the-ass little bastard who needs his ass kicked in. And that's the kind of influence they want people to be steered by. That's the whole agenda with cooperative learning. Oh, there's other shit, too, they've thrown in the mix. But that's a big one, guys. That's a big one. Your tax dollars are going to have your kids educated by the little bitches and bastards of your town. That's nice. That's real nice. You think your kid is going to school to learn from, a mature, respectable adult, and shit, you don't have many of those left anymore either, do you? But no, that's not what's going on. Even if the teacher was respectable, when you get that kind of shit happening. Anyway, here's a quote from another, I'm not sure, I might have read this one, but let me just recap here. This pamphlet read, "Kill, kill, you brave Red Army soldiers, kill. There is nothing in the Germans that is innocent. Obey the instructions of Comrade Stalin." Yeah, I did read this, but anyway. "And stamp the fascistic beast in its cave. Break with force the racial arrogance of the Germanic women. Take them as your legal loot. Kill, you brave soldiers of the Red Army, kill." So it didn't say here, rape them. Didn't have to, though, did it? Take them as your legal loot. The implication is there. Nothing more need be said. Take them as your loot means do with them as you please, i.e. rape them. And then kill them later because they're Germans after all. But have fun with them first. Guys, where do you think this idea comes from? Where do you think this philosophy comes from? Right from the pages of the fucking Torah. Oh yeah, baby. The great Yah himself told his chosen ones, didn't he? When you go into this, that, and the other city, thou mayest take the women, the young virgins, as your booty. So legal loot here means the same thing. Take them as your booty. Have your way with them. When it says it here in this pamphlet, it's obvious what it means, isn't it? And when it says it in the Torah, it's obvious what it means there too. But Bible dupes who want to hear no evil and see no evil because the great Yah is so loving. When you show them that, they'll just give you this blank stare because in their mind, it couldn't possibly mean what it actually says. And it doesn't mean what it says when he tells them to stone someone who breaks the Sabbath or kill a woman found not to be a virgin on her wedding night. Oh, get your head out of your ass. I love it when Bible dupes say that, they'll admit that, the tribe is evil, and but that stems from the Talmud. that's when that started. Really? Really now? Anyway, so kill they did, as well as rape and steal everything they could get their fucking hands on when they went into Germany. And again, isn't this exactly, what the conquistadors were told to do? They were tribe members, ladies and gentlemen. All through the centuries, this is what they've done. They followed what has been instilled in them, both, through nature and nurture, what they were trained to do from the time they were young. It was instilled in them that they're superior to everybody else. Everybody else is a lowlife compared to us. They were put in to serve us. When you have that kind of sick shit drilled into your head, coupled with your fucked up genetics, a great many of them are predisposed genetically. It's encoded in their fucking DNA. That doesn't mean that they have to turn out evil, but they are more likely to turn out that way because from birth, there's already neurological connections there that predispose them to doing that. So if you run into one that isn't bad, that is an exception, and they do exist, they have to work harder at it to not be that way than most other people, because it is in fact genetically encoded. A lot of that probably due to the fact that there's been so much goddamn inbreeding among them. They really, in a lot of ways, they actually can't help themselves. And I'm not saying that to exonerate them. No. That doesn't exonerate them for their evil deeds, but it helps to explain why they're that way. Centuries, yea, millennia of inbreeding has brought this about. Anyway, in yet another leaflet, Mr. Ehrenberg wrote this: "The Germans are not human beings. Henceforth, the word German means to us the most terrible curse. From now on, the word German will trigger your rifle. We shall not speak anymore. We shall not get excited. We shall kill. If you have not killed at least one German a day, you have wasted that day." Listen to this shit. "If you cannot kill your German with a bullet, kill him with your bayonet." Aren't you tired, sick and fucking tired, of hearing their claims that they're victims? And you're a victim of hate speech if you protest their fucking crimes. When you read their own writings, this has been their philosophy all along. It's found in every one of their so-called fucking holy books. Aren't you sick and tired of them getting away with their propaganda bullshit? "Search the world as you may, you will never find a greater example of hate speech than what you find from these son of a bitches. Ethnic cleansing. Prejudice, on and on. The things they want to label others with is what they've been the most guilty of all throughout history. Nobody can compete with them. Give credit where it's due. They're the best at it. Best at lying, best at stealing, but also the best at genuine hate speech. The pamphlet continued to say, "If there is a calm on your part of the front, if you are waiting for the fighting, kill a German before combat. If there's a calm and you're bored, don't waste any time. Make good use of that moment to kill another German. If you leave a German alive," it says, the German will hang a Russian and rape a Russian woman. In other words, go ahead and rape them because, you know, given the opportunity, they're only going to rape your women themselves. So rape their women first and kill them before they have an opportunity to rape and kill you. If you kill one German, kill another. There is nothing more amusing for us than a heap of German corpses. So when you read these accounts, like I mentioned yesterday, of all the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bodies, day after day, week after week, that were being shoveled out of the debris, piled up to be burned, week after week after week this went on. Now you understand where this mentality came from. Here he is saying, there's nothing more amusing for us than a heap of German corpses. Do not count days. Do not count miles, it says. Count only the number of Germans you have killed. Kill the German. This is your old mother's prayer. Jesus Christ. Kill the German. This is what your children beseech you to do. Kill the German. This is the cry of your Russian earth. Do not waver. Do not let up. Kill. Unbelievable, man. History books are supposed to be designed to teach us lessons, so we learn lessons from history. Well, there's a great lesson to be learned from this shit. Why don't they cite this? Did you ever hear about this in any history book? Of course not, because who wrote them? There's your answer. Again, such leaflets were dropped almost daily onto the Russian army. No wonder the Red Army committed such horrific atrocities. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a captain in the Russian army, stated, quote, "For 3 weeks, the war had been going on inside Germany, and all of us knew very well that if the girls were German, they could be raped and then shot. This was almost a combat distinction. We knew we could get away with it. We knew we could rape them and then shoot them, and nobody was going to say anything. In fact, we were encouraged to do so. So we did." You know the old excuse? Well, I was told to. I was just following orders. Here, they were given orders, constantly bombarded with orders to do this. Sadly, guys, when you're given free rein like this, a blank check, when you're given a, quote, license to kill, most people are going to do it. Even people that weren't predisposed to do that, like I said, out of fear because of the peer pressure, they're going to feel very uneasy about it. But this is what's so scary about the mind. Like I said, there are people, and I would hope that most real human beings wouldn't be so easily swayed to do this. You got to have some thuggishness in you in the first place, most of the time, I would hope. And like I said, that being the case, I'd venture to say that some of them found a way to be sick that day, or, you know, or just outright shot themselves, just couldn't take it. They killed themselves. But the group mentality, unfortunately, usually does prevail. And, you know, these were men of combat anyway. They had already been desensitized. So these weren't your average citizens who hadn't witnessed violence and, you know, didn't have any desensitization that had already prepped them for stuff like this. So that made the peer pressure factor even stronger, and it made it more likely for them to go along with something like this. In any case, you know, this did happen. It did play out on a pretty grand scale. Russian troops, probably a good many of them, if not most or all of them, for all we know, were tribe members. So yeah, that made it very easy, didn't it? You can't guess at what the percentage was in the participation of the, perhaps they hand selected the Russian soldiers. Maybe they made sure that they were all tribe members, so they knew that they would all go along with this. Who knows? That wouldn't surprise me, though, because that goes on all the time, doesn't it? Look how our El Governmente does that shit. You know, upon recruitment now, they've been doing this for over 20 years. They'll ask American soldiers, are you willing to fire on fellow Americans if called upon to do so? You know, blah, blah, blah. And specifically, that questionnaire going back to the early 90s, they were asking them if, you know, citizens refused to hand in their weapons, if they were told, because that's one of the very scenarios that they're planning on enforcing in the future. A forceful collection of guns. And any Americans who refuse to hand in their weapons, will you be willing, you know, would you be willing to fire on them? The ones who answer yes, great, we'll keep you here. The ones who answer no, okay, we'll just ship you overseas then. You'd be willing to fire on someone in another country that doesn't comply with such orders. So, you know, they're being very selective, aren't they? I'm sure the same thing went on at this time with the Russian soldiers. They knew the ones that had no conscience. Great. We'll use them as the occupying forces in Germany. They will open fire on innocent German citizens. And yeah, they will rape the women before they kill them. They probably did hand select them for that reason. So maybe the peer pressure factor didn't need to come into play. They knew they would do it anyway, especially when they were given free license to do so. Anyway, in the 1995 book, In Their Terror, All Were Alike. There's your peer pressure right there, just in that title. In Their Terror, All Were Alike. Hans Kolb recorded the following account from a German-Brazilian citizen named Leonora Greyer Cavoa. And again, guys, this gets pretty graphic. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to read this whole freaking thing. We'll see. Years ago, there was only one other time when this happened, where I was reading a quote and it got so disgusting, so graphic. As I was typing it in, I remember wondering if I was going to be able to get through it. And sure enough, I wasn't. I got about midway and I started to crack. I just couldn't take it. I said, folks, if you want, you can request the notes and read this for yourself. It was a quote from Paul Bonacci, who was a victim of the Franklin cover-up, from DeCamp's book there, you know. That is one of the most disgusting books I've ever read in my life. I had to read it, you know, so I could put notes together and expose that disgusting pedo ring. But the details of it were so vomit-inducing, goddammit. He described how he was forced as a kid to participate in a snuff film at the Bohemian Grove. And it went into some pretty gory details. Like, I couldn't get through the quote. This one here is of that same ilk. It's goddamn horrific. So I'll read as far as I can go with it. And, you know, if I can't finish, you can request the notes. It is necessary, though, to cite such statements like this, just so you can see the degree to which the German people suffered, in this case, German women. And these rape stories, guys, weren't confined, not that that would make it any better, but they weren't confined to adult, mature women. They raped elderly women and underage girls as well. Some girls under the age of 10. There's no acceptance of raping any women or anyone for that matter. But My God, elderly and underage. Oh yeah, there was no limits to what they would do. It was a free-for-all rape and murder fest. Anyway, here's this woman's personal testimony. She said on the morning of February 16th, 1945, a Russian division occupied the Reich labor service camp of Vilmsee in Neustettin. The commissar, who spoke German well, informed that the camp was dissolved and that as we were a uniformed unit, we were to be transported immediately to a collecting camp. Since I, being a Brazilian, belonged to a nation on friendly terms with the Allies, he entrusted me with the leadership of the transport, which went to Neustettin, into a yard of what used to be an iron foundry. We were some 500 girls from the Women's Reich Labor Service. The commissar was very polite to us and assigned us to the foreign workers' barracks of the factory, but the allocated space was too small for all of us, and so I went to speak to the commissar about it. Anyway, he offered that I could come to the typist's office if it was too crowded for me, which I gladly accepted. He immediately warned me to avoid any further contact with the others, as those were members of an illegal army. My protests that this was not true were cut off with the remark that if I ever said anything like that ever again, I would be shot. In other words, your duty is simply to shut your mouth, do what you're told, don't question anything, doesn't matter how illegitimate or outright illegal you might think it is, just keep your mouth shut. That's your duty. Take orders. Because obviously there was going to be a lot of illegal things going on that she was going to be seeing. Oh, guys, this makes me think, for example, I've told the story many times before, but this girl that I went to college with, she was a nursing major. Her dream since she was a girl was to be a nurse. And I would see her from time to time and we would talk. And, every time we would meet up, that wound up being brought into the conversation, how excited she was getting. And she got closer and closer to graduating. Can't wait to be a nurse, So imagine my surprise. Late in her senior year. Oh, I think it was early in the senior year. But anyway, it was her senior year. I saw her crying one day out in the hall. I went over and I sat down, put my arm around her. What's the matter? What's the matter? And she tells me she just dropped her nursing major. I'm like, what? What do you mean you dropped your major? To make a long story short, a lot of you have already heard this, but she saw, for the second time, she saw a senior citizen die in her wing when she went into work that morning, and she checked her chart and saw that she was overdosed with morphine. The first time she saw it, she ignored it. Now she realized, I can't ignore this. This is twice now I've seen it. Anyway, what happened to her is very similar to the pressure that went on here with this German Brazilian woman. Short break, guys. Pick up there when we get back.
Constantly thinking naughty, hateful thoughts about the Jews? Do you find yourself actually wishing the gas chambers were real? Do you hate the sight of a yarmulke because it reminds you of the parasitic race that has their greedy little hands in just about everything? Well, then we have got something for you. Ask your doctor about anti-Semitox, Anti-Semitox is a long-acting injectable lobotomy that assures you will never think those anti-Semitic thoughts ever again. May cause suicide, depersonalization, thoughts of ripping off your skin, your dick may fall off, and you may become infertile. I made the switch to Anti-Semitox. Now I don't even care if I'm a Goyim slave. Thanks, Jews!
All right, guys, welcome back. Anyway, to make a long story short, she told me that, you know, she went in that morning to complain to her supervisor, you know, what the hell is going on here? This woman was overdosed with morphine. Anybody can clearly see that. You know, you gave her enough morphine to kill a young, healthy adult, never mind an ailing senior. And to her shock, her supervisor told her in no uncertain terms to keep her mouth shut, but she'd be out of the program. So, you know, it makes me think of this here. She wasn't threatened she'd be shot, but in a manner of speaking, it really amounts to the same thing. Shut up or get out. She realized immediately, unfortunately, you know, most people confronted with that type of a situation today would simply keep their mouth shut. Oh, I've invested too much time and too much money going to school. She realized no, she had a conscience, had too much of a conscience. That's why I realized there's no future for me in the ministry. I still believe in the Bible at the time, but I knew I couldn't work in the ministry with the kind of pressures they were putting on me, seeing how sleazy it was that I had to play politics and lie to people, keep my mouth shut. No, fuck that. And she did the same thing. She dropped her nursing major, even though that was her life goal. She loved, you know, doing the work she was doing with her practicum and couldn't wait to be a full-time, you know, professional nurse. Nope, she dropped the whole thing because she realized my job will not actually be to save lives. In many cases, I'm going to have to participate either directly or indirectly by keeping my mouth shut in the murder of people. That her job would be asking her to do the very opposite of what she thought she was supposed to be doing. She said, fuck it. She got out. Anyway, pretty disgusting, but that's how it works. Anyway, the quote goes on here. She said, suddenly I heard loud screams and immediately two Red Army soldiers brought in five girls. The commissar ordered them to undress. When they refused out of modesty, he ordered me to do it to them and for all of us to follow him. I'm not sure if she meant to do it to them, meaning forcefully undress them, or I would imagine that's... Yeah, that's what she meant. They didn't want to undress in front of the men. So he probably said, all right, you get them undressed, and then later we're going to come back in and have our fun with them. But anyway, she went on to say, we crossed the yard to the former works kitchen, which had been completely cleared out except for a few tables on the window side. It was terribly cold, and the poor girls shivered. In the large tiled room, some Russians were waiting for us, making remarks that must have been very obscene, judging from how everything they said drew gales of laughter, you know, from other soldiers. The commissar told me to to watch and learn how to turn the master race, meaning the German, into whimpering bits of misery. Yeah, who's the real professed master race here? She went on to say, now two Poles came in, dressed only in trousers, and the girls cried out at their sight. Two Poles? What kind of Poles do you think they were? They quickly grabbed the first of the girls, she said, and bent her backwards over the edge of the table until her joints cracked. I was close to passing out as one of them took his knife and before the very eyes of the other girls cut off her right breast. He paused for a moment, then cut off the other side. And you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to get through it. It's so goddamn fucking disgusting. There's quite a few paragraphs of this. It just gets more and more gory as we go along. You know, sharp implements that were forcefully shoved up, you know, several women's orifices. Just use your vivid imagination and multiply that by 100-fold, and that's what we're dealing with here. It's just absolutely unbelievable. You get the point, though. If you want, you know, you can request the notes. I'll send them to you. It just goes on and on for several more paragraphs. It's so fucking disgusting. I just want to go back in time with a fucking machine gun and blow the heads off of these son of a bitches. Where's the justice? Did these motherfuckers ever get what was coming to them? No, I highly doubt it. Maybe a few later in battle, in skirmishes, you know, caught a bullet in the head. But most of these bastards lived out a full life, never, ever having faced justice. And even if somebody tried to come after them as war criminals, they were protected. Who did they go after the war as war criminals? The innocent Germans, ladies and gentlemen. But the real war criminals? Or, you know, never mind just these Russian soldier pricks. How about the real war criminals who are responsible for mass slaughtering multiplied millions of innocent Germans like Mr. fucking FDR and Mr. Churchill? Those are the biggest war criminals right there. Did they ever receive justice? Oh, contraire. They were praised and still continue to be praised as war heroes. I'll be doing a show coming up. Probably won't get to that for several more weeks. Maybe not till next month, like I said, because I'm going to start a 9/11 series coming up here pretty soon. Already less than a month away, the anniversary of the biggest mass slaughter false flag operation this government has staged yet, right here in our own soil. So I probably won't be till after that when I get to that. But I'm going to be talking about Mr. Churchill and what a piece of shit he was. From the word go, guys. From the word go. He came from a long line of pieces of shit in his family going back centuries. Anyway, outrageously horrific instances like this, what I just read, and it gets a lot worse than that. She goes on and on and on for many more paragraphs. And like I said, it's too goddamn vomit inducing. But this was not an isolated incident. This is, in fact, a typical incident of what went on a grand scale. In fact, she describes how, you know, after this group of girls was murdered, then they went out and grabbed some more and brought them in and did the same thing. And after they got bored with that group of girls, had their fun, they tossed them aside, their corpses, that is, and brought yet more in. They just kept doing this over and over. But that was just one particular group. There were other groups of Russian soldiers in other parts of Germany that did the same fucking thing. We don't even know how many women were murdered in this fashion. to increase their pleasure if their spouses happened to be available, if they weren't, you know, blown away yet, they would bring them in, tie them, gag them, and make them watch. They would forcefully, you know, hold their eyes open and forcefully steer their head in the direction of their wives being raped. Make them watch. Then they would shoot the husband in front of the wife before they would kill the wife, too. You fucking sick son of a bitch. It's the same thing that conquistadors did, guys. And we know who directed them. A great many of the conquistadors themselves were Sephardim. Like I said, guys, no power of imagination could ever possibly comprehend the sufferings that these women and the German people in general suffered at the hands of these fucking monsters, all of which were inspired by elite Jew scum, if they weren't elite Jew scum themselves. As Germans withdrew from Czechoslovakia, many atrocities were committed against them there as well. F.A. Voigt, Berlin correspondent for the Manchester Guardian, gave an interesting report, first-hand report. He said, quote, women and children were thrown from the bridge into the river. Actually, looks like we got a caller here. I'll get back to that quote in a minute. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, it's Tammy.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Tammy?
Hey, good. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I have to run, but wanted to mention that I wonder how many people in the country now are descendants of these people.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah, and don't even realize their own history.
Well, I actually think that some of them probably do.
I would hope.
You know? I mean, especially, like, I know out west there's towns that they know darn well who their ancestors are, and their sheriffs and judges, and they're still running towns today. So, just thought I'd throw that one out there.
Oh, are you talking about the victimizers instead of the victims?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I agree, yeah, absolutely. But as far as relatives living today that are relatives of the victims, unfortunately, they probably don't have a clue.
Oh, yeah. They pass their stories down from their great-grandfathers of the things that they did, the not-so-nice things, and they're pretty proud of it. And
yeah, oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's some of the families that are out west actually still have some of the scalps from some of the Indian Wars and things like that, and they keep them as trophies, so I'm sure that there's people that, you know, keep.
And they're waiting for the moment to arise when they can repeat it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it really is a family secret that's proud for them, and they may be the people that are voting for Hillary.
Yeah. Oh, they got family histories that they've been passing down for generations, going back thousands of years. The very thing we talk about on shows like this, yeah.
Oh, and it's all documented, and they have the pictures in their living rooms down the walls, and, you know, it's not something that they hide. They're really proud of it. So.
Yeah, just like when they play back all the 9/11 footage, people jumping to their deaths, they love that shit. They get off on it.
Yep, it's sad. But yeah, I'll let you go, but interesting to think about that part. Those may be some of the children of them that you have to face one day.
Yeah, so. Great point. Excellent point. Thanks for the call, Tammy.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, think about that sobering thought. As we read these accounts and our stomach gets curdled and we get enraged and our blood pressure goes up, think of those, like Tammy just said, who hear these accounts and get excited. Their heart pounds not out of disgust, but out of great anticipation for repeating this in the future. Anyway, back to this Manchester Guardian quote. Women and children were thrown from the bridge into the river. Germans were shot down in the streets. It's estimated that 2,000 or 3,000 people were killed in Czechoslovakia as the Russian troops marched in to that region. And then, of course, there was the what was called the Jewish Brigade that followed all of this carnage, as if Germany hadn't suffered enough from all the bullshit going back to the Weimar Republic, right? A million almost dying from starvation, 800,000 dying for... Actually, I read some estimates that said it was a million. So, you know, take your pick. 800,000, a million died from starvation while yet working. We're not far from that, guys, in case you haven't noticed. There are people working today. They call them the working poor. There's no reason for you to be poor if you're working. This is all by design. We're getting Weimar'd once again, guys. It's the same goddamn shit happening right now. People are working, in many cases, working their asses off and having nothing to show for it. Nothing. Can't even feed their own selves, never mind, you know, their families. We're heading right back to that same shit again. They're doing it to us as we speak. But, you know, in addition to all of that, and then the, you know, the aerial bombardments and the rapes, and in addition to all that, then you had this fucking Jewish Brigade bullshit where they were going around again with a blank check to kill whoever they wanted, whether or not they were former German soldiers that supposedly took part in the so-called Holocaust. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. They could have been just someone they didn't like the looks of. They could say that they were former, Nazi. Whatever. It didn't matter, guys. If you looked at them funny, they'd kill you. Hunted you down like a dog. There were stories where they would pretend. Oh, in fact, here's one right here. One of these executioners, Israel Karmi was his name, later explained how the process worked with this brigade. He said, when we arrived at the home of our suspect, we would put on British military police helmets with the white band and police armlets so that they would look official. Oh, we're part of the occupying troops now. We're here to uphold law and order and peace, blah, blah, blah. We'd go to their homes dressed in British military uniforms to look official. Then we would enter the home and take the suspect with us, saying that we wanted him for interrogation or for questioning. Usually they came without a struggle because they didn't know the kind of trap they were being lured into. Once in the car, we told the prisoner who we were and why we took him. Some admitted guilt, others kept silent. We did the job. In other words, we killed them. Didn't matter if they confessed, if they denied. What were they confessing to? Just like during the Inquisition. People weren't even told what the charges were that they were being arrested for. They were told to confess. So out of fear, they just made shit up. And in the process, it didn't matter now what the original phony-ass charge was that they arrested them under. Because now, with those phony confessions that came as a result of fear, right? Now they figured, hey, now you did all this in addition to what your initial charge was? And you can bet these son of a bitch and inquisitor bastards knew that these confessions were fake. But it didn't matter. They had even more justification now for torturing the Christ out of them and then fucking killing them on top of it. And that's just what they did. Once you were captured by an inquisitor, your ass was grass. You could lick their hind parts and it wouldn't matter. You could do everything you were told, beg and plead. It didn't matter. You were a goner. if you could get a hold of a dagger or a gun and do yourself in, you would have been much better off, because you would face weeks, if not months, of agonizing torture, being starved to death, dehydrated, deprived of food and water as they tortured you, and then ultimately only to turn around and be burned at the stake anyway. A slow, painful, miserable, dragged out death. You'd be better to jam a dagger in your chest. Or if you can get a hold of a musket, put it to your head. Either way, your life was going to end anyway, so why not do it quick and painlessly? If you know, Jesus Christ, man. You know, I've read excerpts before from the Libro Nero, the Inquisitor's Handbook, where it says, you know, torture the person. Whether or not they confess, torture them anyway. Torture has always been found to be a great way of getting a confession. Oh, yeah, not a real confession of any real guilt, but just a confession nonetheless. And it goes on to say, if they deny it, keep torturing them until they finally admit. And like I said, they're just going to make stuff up, right? And then it says, if they refuse to confess, keep torturing. If they confess only in part, that partial confession shows that they're capable of being guilty of the whole thing, so consider them guilty. If they confess fully, well, that proves that they're guilty and thus definitely worthy of death. In other words, you were going to get tortured anyway. A lot of times the very torture would kill them, even though they designed it so that, you know, you wouldn't die. Part of the instruction with the torture is to not draw blood, break bones and whatnot, hang them from their thumbs or one thumb, pulling the thumb out of joint or sometimes their arm out of joint. That's fine. But avoid bloodshed because they might bleed to death. And we don't want that. We want to drag out their agony and suffering. On the rare occasion that you survived this ordeal, that you might have known the right person or whatever, by the time they were done with you guys, you would have been better off if they did kill you, because you'd spend the rest of your life as a severely crippled mutant. Your back would be permanently arched over, severe scoliosis. Your limbs would be all twisted, and you'd look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Your face would be disfigured. On and on and on and on it goes. You'd never walk right again. You'd have scars all over you from whippings and all done in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you get a lot to be proud of, Christian nutfucks. Anyway, you know, makes me think, too, a comment I wanted to make when Tammy called and I forgot. Just like there's a lot of relatives of Germans today that just don't understand what the hell was done to them. Hell, you can go over to Germany today and they don't understand that they were the victims. They've fallen for a lot of the bullshit. People are waking up, yes, but my God, it just amazes me. A parallel to that is how you can go today down in any Latin American country of your choice and see that the whopping bulk of these people show up for mass every Sunday morning. Don't you know your own history and what that piece of shit institution did to your ancestors? Those fucking things should be burnt to the ground, goddammit. How can you take pride in something that decimated your forefathers, raped your foremothers? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I don't know how anybody could be loyal to that institution and have endearing feelings for it. But especially when your ancestors were raped and pillaged, literally and figuratively, I don't fucking get it, man. Anyway, so here's this quote admitting how they did it through deception. They would knock on the door, just like the Inquisitor, knock on the door in the middle of the night. Many of them went willingly. The ones that didn't, well, they just shot them right there on the spot. Once they got them in the car, if they went willingly, Then they explained to them who they really were. You're like the harmless fly that stepped right into our spider's frickin' web. We're going to kill you. What do you think of that? Doesn't matter whether you confess a phony confession or not, you know. You're dead. We're going to kill you. We're going to take you down the road, tie you to a tree, torture you a little bit to satisfy our lust for blood, our sick, twisted, sadistic mentality, and then we're going to kill you. We can't even guess at how many more Germans were killed this way. It was this Jewish brigade, by the way, that came up with the plan to kill 6 million Germans. Did you know that guy? I did a show on that a while back. But they planned to poison the water supply. It didn't quite work out. They fucked up with it. But they fully intended to carry it out. Do we hear about that? No, we hear about the phony 6 million figure. Have that crammed down our throat and shoved up our ass when it never happened. But real instances like this that they intended to carry out, and for all practical purposes, they did. You know, they did kill multiplied millions of Germans. You don't hear about that, though. Nope, you don't hear about that. And then, of course, tribal frickin' banksters and businessmen also swooped down in the wake of the war like vultures to grab what they could and ensure that any new business that started up in Germany would be under their thumb. They would have control over it, make sure that they would be profiteering, not the German people. Anyway. Hope you enjoyed that discussion, guys. Isn't it disgusting? All right, guys. Short break. Stick with us. Be right back.
Renegade Broadcasting was founded in 2012, ladies and gentlemen. Since that time, Cole Hunt of the Solar Storm has been authoring the Renegade Broadcasting website, producing, directing, and is now running the Renegade Tribune alongside other projects that present to you all of this free content. Free for you, but not free for him. When your life is busy and you don't know how you can help Cole by contributing in some way, Cole can always use a bit of a financial scratch on the back to help out with costs. So please, be generous and donate whatever you can, wherever you can. You can go to renegadebroadcasting.com and click on Kyle's face. This will take you to a donate button. Every little bit helps.
My body started shaking and I can't take no more.
This is Renegade Broadcast.
Guys, welcome back. Anyway, that completes that discussion. We could go on to talk about the phony goddamn rig, frickin' Nuremberg trials, the post-World War II concentration camps run by goddamn Eisenhower. We could talk about how Germany, to this day, is being choked with phony-ass frickin' reparation payments. On and on. There's no end to it, guys. Suffering continues. Where's the outrage? And yet they feed us with the bullshit about anger management classes. Anger is an unhealthy thing. Oh, bullshit it is. Bullshit. People need to get real angry. Anyway, I was debating during the break as to where I was going to go next, several different directions I want to go. But I actually think I'm going to cover this now. The topic I was just referring to that I worked on late last night, I added some more material to it. This is a topic that I've had quite a few people email me about over the past several months, asking me what I thought about this particular issue. And my response was basically, I'm not even going to address it because it's so ridiculous. It's so juvenile. It's just so goddamn stupid. I'm just not even going to discuss it. It's just not worth my time. But actually, I had a change of heart recently when a friend of mine that I've known for years, and I haven't even gone into the details of this with him yet. Next time I call him, I'm going to share this with him because he's starting to lean in this direction now. It's absolutely scary how easily people can be misled. Even people that, are in the truther crowd that are more studious than most others for looking into things. And I'm talking about the flat earth dogma. It has really taken off. It's scary, guys, how many people have been sucked into this. It's so easy to refute. But most people, if they don't have any astronomical background, have never owned a telescope, I guess it's very easy to be taken in by this stuff. It comes attached with, what seems to be genuine skepticism and genuine thoroughly documented. I've seen some of the videos and the way they present it. If you don't have any astronomy background, you can be easily lured in. But once you take that effort, and I'm talking about your own personal observations, just with a goddamn telescope, you don't have to read any mainstream textbooks that might skew your thinking in the wrong way. Just do your own observation. You can clearly on your own see that what they're proposing is bullshit. And so you have to wonder, are these people lying? Are they pawning stuff off that they themselves know isn't true? Well, we know that that's a common thing, isn't it, for El Governmente and other lying scoundrels who run the media. They love to muddy the waters, don't they? They love to get us chasing shadows. They love to get us not only chasing shadows and wasting our time, but ultimately what winds up happening with things like this is that it discredits all the other things you talk about. You lose your credibility with the general public. People see that you're, you know, criticizing the government one minute and then the next minute talking about shit like this, and they figure, oh, forget it. Yeah, those guys are crazy. Those conspiracy nuts, they think the Earth is flat, or that the Earth is the center of the universe, because they usually go hand in hand. A lot of flat earthers are, in fact, geocentrists, too, and vice versa. Guys, we are literally going back to the Dark Ages with shit like this. For, you know, 1,000-plus years, the Catholic Church taught that the Earth was fucking flat, and that it was the center of the universe, and everything went. So, you know, if you fall into that camp, well, you're in good company. Show up at Mass this week, you know, get your little cross around your neck and buy a set of rosary beads and, you know, complete the picture. Jesus Christ, please, please don't be sucked in by this bullshit. You might as well join ranks with David Icke and talk about lizard people, for Christ's sakes. Yes, we're lied to about a whole lot of things. Yes, you have to question anything and everything mainstream. I hope you will. But not to go off the deep end to the point now where you're just in Lulu land. Because that's what this is. It's nothing but a monstrous psyops distraction designed, again, to get people chasing shadows and at the same time to discredit the many other true things that have been uncovered, you know, that actually are going on, you know, government crimes, lies, scams. How can you wake someone up to the Sandy Hooks and the San Bernardinos and the Boston Marathons? How can you wake them up to that and the 9/11s and on it goes? If you're talking about the flat earth bullshit, and it is bullshit, and we're going to see ultimately where this bullshit really came from in you know, in modern times, this modern flat earth thing, how it came about and why it came about. Anyway, let's see here. As I said, this goes back, you know, to the Dark Ages. People think, oh no, you know, many ancient cultures believe this. Actually, no, there were some that did. Yeah, we're going to be looking at one specific ancient culture that was big with this bullshit idea, the tribe. But no, a lot of ancient cultures actually knew that the Earth was round. The ancient Greeks, for example, knew. The ancient Babylonians, the Sumerians, they didn't believe the flat earth bullshit. But it became popularized and went mainstream again during the Dark Ages, guys. You know, in the process of finally putting these notes together, I first put them together about a week ago, I guess. And I figured, you know, I'll broadcast that coming weeks, months, whatever. But now that I added to them a lot more yesterday, the idea came to me, oh, geez, I only covered one side of this. I just looked at it from the scientific standpoint. But then I realized, oh, I got to add, you know, the notes basically doubled in size yesterday. Now I can say I'm giving a blanket coverage to this thing. Without including what I added yesterday, this thing would have been completely totally incomplete. Anyway, during the Dark Ages, guys, is when this thing took off like never before. Oh, that's what I was going to say. As I was researching the show, I came across a book on Amazon. Holy Christ. I should get it just for laughs. There's a book on Amazon called The Church Was Right, The Earth Is Flat. You gotta be fucking kidding. The author of this book, obviously, is defending the Catholic Church and its mass murdering rampage during the Dark Ages for killing people, amongst other things, for claiming that, for having the audacity to claim that the Earth was round instead of flat. Now, in the wake of this new flat Earth movement, people now are revisiting the Dark Ages and saying, well, how do you like that? Our beloved, wonderful, spotless Catholic Church that's never erred in matters of faith and morals was right all along. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, we've been going in the wrong direction, saying the Earth is round and that the Earth, along with the other planets, orbit the sun. No, we need to go backwards, back to the Dark Ages. I guess we should actually call those the Light Ages now. The Church was right. And we should start killing people, too, apparently, who say that the Earth is round and that it's not the center of the universe. Guess where those ideas came from that became popular in the Dark Ages and now are growing popular again? Guess where they came from? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that later. But holy horseshit. The Church was right. The Earth is flat. God fucking damn it, man. They want to take you backwards to the Dark Ages, guys, for a reason. Because they want to repeat what happened during the Dark Ages. They want their beloved little Catholic Church now to become a persecutor once again. It'll be more tidy and more acceptable to people if they kill in the name of God. And let me tell you, there are no more rabid, bloodthirsty son of a bitches on this planet today than what you find in a religious context. I personally have tasted their barbs myself on many occasions, and I can tell you, not all Christians are like that. No, I have to stress that. But a great many of them are. They would willfully support people being killed in the name of their fucking cult if it was set up that way again. They want it set up that way. And that's why they're trying to drive your mind back to the fucking Dark Ages. The Church was right after all. And next they're going to say that the Church was not only right about the Earth being flat and being the center of the universe, but it was right about killing those who question anything the Church said. They want that kind of mentality revived. They don't mind giving that power back to the Church because now the Judeo-Masonic pricks completely control it. So it will persecute people according to their interests. Anyway, we got a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charles, it's Kyle.
I
wanted to chime in on this topic for a moment just to see where you're coming from. Do you think that NASA and the scientific establishment has been lying greatly about space, about our place in the cosmos?
Oh, they're lying about all kinds of shit. Yeah, absolutely.
So that could easily be what would be fueling people to question such things.
Oh, yeah. I can see. But what I think is happening is that, you know, they're taking advantage of that and twisting it to get people to go completely off the deep end. But the basis of me claiming the Earth is not flat has nothing to do with NASA. Forget
right.
NASA's pictures. Most of them are doctored. And, you know, you can't go with any of that shit. I don't care what the hell NASA.
Oh, yeah. The pictures that they have, they admit that none of them are actual real pictures of the Earth. And all the stuff with the moon landing.
Yeah, computer-generated imagery. So it looks better than the old fake stage-managed Apollo films. It does look.
There's actually a few photos out there. I think one of them from 2014, the official photo of the Earth from NASA, where North America is massive, absolutely massive. And then you compare it with a picture from a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like half the size. So they're
somebody sent me a video. I think it was that, you know, Vinny that calls in a lot. a really good video. This guy, he did a hell of a job. He showed a picture of the latest NASA orbiter of Jupiter. It's called Juno. And the picture they showed, supposedly, it shows the northern, what do you call them? Like Aurora Borealis, like we have on Earth. But all they did is superimpose this little circular ring of light over an old picture from, I think it was Galileo mission, you know, back like 10 years ago. But it's obviously not a picture that was recently taken by Juno. It can't be, because the cloud configurations on Jupiter are exactly the same. If you toggle back and forth from one picture to the other, all the clouds are in the same exact position, the same color scheme. That's impossible. Those clouds are constantly swirling and turning and twisting. There's no way that that same cloud configuration.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's an obviously doctored image.
They do the same thing with the Earth, where they'll show you 24 hours of the Earth spinning, and the clouds haven't moved one bit. They're still in the same formation. There's even the old Disney tricks where you could find sex spelled out in the clouds.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah, I think that was in the same video. Yeah.
You know, so back to the flat Earth here for a second. I think that a lot of what we've been taught is a lie. So it's just how you interpret what you're seeing when trying to get away from establishment science. And one of the big things about the shape of the Earth is that people without advanced technology, or say without advanced mathematics, which I don't always trust either, because you can make mathematics fit multiple models. But people are trying to figure this out without having any of the proper tools. We can't send rockets up high enough to figure out what's really going on. So that's why people are looking for these alternative explanations. And there are some very compelling documentaries that are out there which get people saying, whoa, we've been lied to in a big way. And the conclusion they come to is, well, we're probably living on a plane rather than a planet. So it'd be great if you could check out some of these. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I have, actually. Yeah.
Your argumentation on it. One of them that I guess would be a good place to go for some of the evidence that's being presented would be Eric Dubé, who I don't trust one bit. Eric, but he has done some decent work on what you were talking about before, which would be Adolf Hitler versus the Jew World Order.
Yeah.
And he used part of the Hellstrom in there. But in any event, Eric Dubé's 200 proofs that the Earth is not a spinning ball. Now, I just wanted to bring up one of these to see what you might think about this. If you look up at the pole star, right, the North Star, Polaris, it does not move. It's always right above the pole.
Right. And well, it actually moves just a little bit, like a fraction of a degree. But yeah, it's essentially over the north. Yeah.
And then if you point your camera up at the sky, up at Polaris, you'll see, and do a time lapse, you'll see the stars circling
around the course of an evening.
Now this only indicates one movement, but we're supposed to be having three different movements at the same time: the Earth spinning, the Earth moving around the sun, and also, you know, you've got this.
That argument seems legitimate on the surface, but it actually isn't. And it's because this guy is not an astronomer. He's just read a few statements here and there.
Charles, what I'm trying to get at is, if the Earth was on a 23.4 degree tilt and it's moving about the sun, the North Pole should not be pointing at the same place the entire time. I understand that stars are very far away, but if you get what I'm saying, well, you've got this.
Well, no, that makes total sense, because that star is so far away that it really doesn't move. It's kind of like when you're driving and the moon seems to be following you. Did you ever notice that? It looks like it's moving.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. But the North Pole wouldn't be pointing at nearly the same place. I'm talking about 22.
No, it would. It would. When you're dealing with trillions and trillions of miles away, it would essentially not.
Charles, let's say you take a tennis ball, you stick a skewer through it, and then you put it on a little tilt, not straight up, you know. Put it on tilt, and then you have that spinning and moving around the sun, which is itself moving around, supposedly.
Well, do you ever hear of parallax? Do you know what parallax is?
Yeah, I know parallax.
Yeah, well, if you have really sensitive instruments, you can see that it actually does move, but it's so slight, the eye won't pick it up. And for all practical purposes, it hasn't moved. It stays still within that same,
But Charles, what I'm saying is, that's only indicating, this is really only indicating one movement, whereas you should be seeing, you shouldn't be seeing perfect concentric circles in a time-lapse photo.
Well, yeah, you would, because you're dealing only with several hours in the course of one evening. The Earth's orbit around the sun during that time is so minuscule that it wouldn't make much of a difference. The main movement that's taking place is the Earth's rotation. So you're going to see those streaks traced out on the film.
You could keep your camera pointed there. And again, as I was saying, if people just think about this, the diagram it out, let's just imagine this pole pointing in one direction at 23.4 degrees on one side of the sun, and then pointing in the other direction on the other side of the sun. It's not going to be pointed at the same Polaris. It's not going to be pointed at the same star. What I'm saying is, I think that there are some really deep lies. I have no idea what the absolute truth is of our world, I don't know what my worldview is, but I do think that there are some big deceptions afoot. That's why I'm not going to throw people who kind of question this stuff under the bus, but I'll give you this. I think it's a complete psyop. Even if some of the stuff that is being put out is true, I think the timing of it and the purpose of it is to, in most people's minds, discredit us so that we're not a real threat to the power establishment. I really do think that they would release partially truthful information. I'm not saying that this is necessarily the case with this, in order to do that, to muddy the waters. Because most people, let's say this was completely factual, everything that's being said about the flat Earth, completely factual. I think they'd still release it, even if it was one of their big secrets, so as to maintain control. That's my opinion on the matter. But there are a lot of interesting things that are brought up in some of these documentaries. And I've actually tested some of this stuff out myself, where you go out and you try to find the actual curve of the Earth over a large body of water, where it should be curving at a very specific calculable rate. And it's not there. You can see objects. One of the ones that's used often is 60 miles away. You see this like Chicago skyline completely when it should be buried underneath the curve. So people have gone out there with zoom lenses on clear evenings, and you're 60 miles away in Michigan. They can see the entire Chicago skyline. And there was actually a news anchor who got on trying to explain away the photograph, saying it was a mirage that occurred. That's why you could see it. But of course, a mirage would be upside down. So there are these anomalies.
One of the things I'm going to be talking about is along that line. Have you ever gone on a deep sea cruise?
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah, I was on one a few years ago to the Caribbean, and most of the 12-day cruise was out in deep sea. And I actually did that with binoculars. I remember looking out, seeing ships off in the distance, and as they would disappear, as we got further and further away from them, you do actually see the base of the ship disappearing first. Then you just see the deck, and then the last thing to disappear is the tip of the ship.
Well, it seems that actually is something of an illusion itself, because if you had stronger binoculars, or let's say you had a zoom lens, and I've seen people do this, you zoom in on that, which it seems to have disappeared behind the horizon, and you could zoom in and it brings the ship back into focus. You see the whole thing again. It's quite incredible, but I'm not a scientist. I make some observations, and there are weird properties to light. There are weird properties just in physics in general.
Yeah, but I tell you what, when I get done, what the stuff I'm presenting is stuff people can do on their own. You can verify this on your own. It's not You don't need high-tech equipment. You don't need to be a mathematician. It's stuff that, you know, I did since I was a kid. And it's basic observations with a telescope that you can make that hopefully you're going to finally put this thing to bed once and for all. You know, there's no question we'll lie to about a lot of things in this world, but this is not one of them.
Well, again, one last request. If you could find the time at some point while you're doing this to watch that 200 Proofs Earth Not
Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen that one. Can you send me the link?
What's that?
Can you send me a link to that?
I'll send you a link to that because some of these are the standard arguments that are used, and it'd be great if you could have your
If you could email that.
Planes flying on the spinning ball and the atmosphere not being affected at all by the spinning ball and just the way that certain things are observed on this earth. All right, Charles. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Yeah, appreciate it. Anyway, the point I was making, and I didn't get to elaborate on it enough, the idea that, Polaris doesn't move, it actually does, but it's so slight. It's actually less of a movement than what you see if you keep your camera shutter open for several hours a night to record the trails of the stars, you know, orbiting in a circle. Polaris does move very slightly, but it will make a tiny little circle. So it's not exactly in the center of the circle. You know, it's not perfectly lined up with the Earth's polar axis. And so for that reason, it can and has been used all the time, to line your telescope. I used to do it. I had a telescope with a clock drive, and it's kind of a pain in the ass at first. It takes a while to set it up. But once you have the telescope aligned with Polaris, then the clock drive will automatically whatever object you fix the telescope on, it'll automatically follow it. If anybody's ever used a telescope, you know what I'm talking about. The higher magnification you use for the object you're looking at, the quicker it's going to move out of your field of view. Because while it magnifies the size of the object you're looking at, it also, in doing so, magnifies the speed of the Earth's rotation. Not the speed that the object itself is moving, but the apparent speed that it's moving because it's the Earth that is, in fact, turning. But anyway, and we'll get into the proofs of that later, but what was I going to say now? But anyway, so the Polaris, the reason why it doesn't seem like it moves when we're on one side of the sun's orbit from the other is because it's so far away. That's parallax. Just like when you're in your car driving, the moon doesn't seem to move. It moves with you. Everything else is moving, the trees that you go by and the houses you pass. But the moon, you're not passing the moon. The moon seems to be moving with you. It's not moving at all, but because it's so far away, its relative position to you doesn't seem to be moving. It actually is very, 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 very slightly. So slightly that you don't notice it. But if you drove from one part of the country to the other, if you could do that in the course of, a half an hour, you would see that your position relative to the moon has, in fact, changed. It might seem that it's ahead of you a little bit at the beginning of your journey, and then by the time you go from New York to California, now the moon has shifted to the point where now it's not slightly ahead of you, it has actually moved a little bit behind you relative to your position in the sky, But you don't perceive it as you're driving because it's ever so slight. If the moon was moved twice as far away, that perception would be even less. The further back it's pushed away. So when you get to a star that's trillions of miles away, it's going to look like it hasn't moved at all unless you have really sensitive instruments. Anyway, guys, quick break.
Okay, little Jimmy, as a 4-year-old child, I trust your judgment to make life-altering decisions about your body and gender. But where can I get some help for this?
Well, we can help. Here at the Michelle Obama Academy for Transgender Children, we will convince you and your child that gender is just a social construct. Bruce Jenner knows that just because you were born with a penis, that doesn't mean you need to be a boy. It means that you need to chop it off and get a neo-vagina. At Michelle Obama's Academy for Transgender Kids, we know the importance of chopping off genitals.
All right, guys, welcome back. One of these experiments that I mentioned that you can do yourself is something that Aristosthenes of Cyrene did many centuries ago. While living in Alexandria, Egypt, he received some amazing correspondence from the city of Cyrene, or Syene, excuse me, in southern Egypt. Sorry about that. In particular, this correspondent said that on the summer solstice, the shadow of someone looking down a deep well would block the reflection of the sun at noontime. Why? Because the sun was directly overhead. And if you had a completely vertical object, it would cast absolutely no shadow because, again, the sun was directly overhead. But Aristosthenes knew that this wasn't the case where he was in Alexandria at a different latitude. Sure, the sun came closer to being directly overhead at noon on the summer solstice in Alexandria than any other time during the year, but vertical objects still cast a shadow. This puzzled him. How come the sun is casting a shadow where I am at the exact same time that it's not casting a shadow in Syene? Like any other good scientist, Aristosthenes performed a groundbreaking, ingenious experiment. Very simple, but still ingenious, having made this observation and the conclusions he drew from it. By measuring the length of the shadow cast by a vertical stick during the solstice noon, he figured out what angle the sun was at as compared to its overhead position at the same time in Syene by comparing the difference between them. He came up with the shadow angle, and by using a little, you know, trigonometry, he was able to figure out basically the circumference of the Earth. If the Earth was flat, ladies and gentlemen, you would have shadow angles the same, regardless, you know, at the same time, dead noon, on the summer solstice, whatever, you'd have the same shadow angle, no matter where you were. Only on a curved Earth, on a curved surface, would you have different angles, where there's no angle in one part. And you can do this yourself. Find somebody who lives at least, you know, 300 or 400 miles north of you and someone who lives 300 or 400 miles south of you. Conduct this experiment. It would be best if you lived on or near the equator, because then you could get the effect more clearly. At the equator, basically, the sun on the summer solstice is going to be directly overhead, and it's not going to cast a shadow. But yet, if you talk to somebody who lives a few hundred miles north of you, they're going to see that the shadow is cast toward the north. If someone lives 300 miles or so south of you, the shadow is going to be cast toward the south. This tells you the Earth has to be curved. It has to be. If you, in the middle of those two other observers, don't have a shadow at the exact same time that the other two have a shadow, and yet the one to the north of you is pointing to the north, its shadow, and the one to the south of you has a shadow pointing to the south, you're dealing with a curved Earth. No way around it. You can do this, and many people have done this, no matter what part of the world you're talking about. You can do the same thing in Africa. You know, repeat the experiment that Aristoteles did. You will see one shadow north of you cast slightly to the north, one shadow south of you cast slightly to south, and you in the middle don't have a shadow at all. You're dealing with a curved Earth right there. That's it. Not only can you tell the Earth is curved, but if you are proficient a little bit with math, you can actually, just like Aristoteles, you can actually deduce the circumference of the Earth. He did it. He was pretty accurate. The reason why he wasn't totally accurate is because his measurements were not, with precision instruments. But he became pretty damn close, impressively close, to what the modern figure is, 7,897 miles for the Earth's diameter. But that's not all. There's many other arguments. The ships at sea. Kyle could say, and many people could say that, you know, that's an optical illusion. I've seen it with my own eyes. But, you know, he also said the other illustration about, you know, standing high and looking at Chicago, and, you know, that was an optical illusion. Well, you know, at what point are you going to use the optical illusion argument? You could go either way with that to try to buttress your case. You know, when the opposition says it's an optical illusion, that's okay. But when I say it, it's not okay. Or when you say it's not okay, when I say it is okay. No. Guys, when compiled with all the other evidence, to see it with your own eyes, you know, an island, or a ship. I saw it with the islands, too, as we would move away. We went to five different islands in the Caribbean, South Caribbean. St. Croix, St. Martin, St. Thomas. I forget what the other two were now. That was so many years ago. Anyway, as we would move away from them, they disappeared bottom first. And as you would move further away, you know, these were volcanic islands, so they were pretty, pretty tall. And as you would move away, the last part to disappear was the tip of the island. I remember I bought a pair of binoculars for that reason. I wanted to look out, at distant ships. And they also had, stuff there you could use, but I brought my own, for sightseeing and whatnot. But I did take note of that you do see the base disappearing first, whether it's a ship, whether it's a distant volcanic island. The base disappears first as you move further away. The ocean seems to rise higher and higher and higher until you just see the very tip of it, and then finally it disappears. If the Earth was flat, ladies and gentlemen, what you would see is that the receding island or the receding ship would grow smaller and smaller and smaller. I saw one video. I don't know who the guy was now. You know, I was watching several pro-flat-earth videos. The guy lied in this particular video, whatever his name was, I don't remember. He actually said that as you watch receding objects, that they grow smaller and smaller until they disappear. That's not true. He's lying. That's not what you see. You don't see that at all. Anyway, got a call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Charles.
Yeah, what's up?
Charles. You know, I just caught the ass end of the show here, but, you know, that Aristophanes thing, you know, and a couple, and the ships at sea thing, you know, the ships come back in the focus when you get a monocular, and then if you get a higher power telescope, they come back in the focus. It's all a perspective. It's why the ships seem to disappear. And the Aristophanes thing, that's assuming that the sun is 93 million miles away, which it surely isn't. That's just the most poppycock thing I've ever heard in my life, 93 million miles away. The sun is local, and it's smaller.
And how far is it? 15 feet, 20, 100 yards? Have you measured it?
3,000 feet or so. You wouldn't be able to see sunspots on clouds. Like
3,000 feet.
Yeah. The heliocentric model. Listen. The heliocentric model has been thoroughly debunked.
Wait, hold on. 3,000 feet. Have you ever flown an airplane before?
Yes, I have. And I went to Colorado.
Yeah.
Have you ever flown an airplane? And have you ever looked and seen the horizon rise to your eye level? You can't see no curve, dude. You're fucking out of your mind.
Okay, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard it yourself. He says the sun is 3,000 miles up in the air. Airplanes fly at 35,000 feet. You don't need to have a measuring stick out to see that. You're fucking high up in the sky, okay? He's saying that the sun is closer to us than what you fly in an airplane. Are you fucking serious? Are you fucking kidding me? There are mountains that people have climbed that are much higher than 3,000 feet. Why don't they get burned to death? Here on the surface of the earth, you get sunburn if you're out for too long. So when you're on a mountain, you're much closer to the sun. When you're in an airplane, how come they don't roast? What the fuck, man? We're in the twilight zone, ladies and gentlemen. It scares me. It scares the shit out of me that people can't. I'm all for questioning this system that lies to us on a constant daily basis. But let's keep our head on straight and not let ourselves get led by every, as the Apostle Paul would say, by every wind of doctrine. You know, here's one of the biggest problems with this right here. And this is why I say people who fall for the flat earth thing have never looked through a telescope. You know, I've been doing this since I was a kid. I've always been fascinated with astronomy. I always, had a telescope as a kid. At first, I just borrowed a neighbor's. Eventually, I got my own. I went through several different telescopes, actually. And anyway, this is something you can do on your own. Just look out at Jupiter, for example. Okay? Jupiter's great red spot. Get yourself a half-decent scope. You got to have, probably 700-800X telescope, which, you know, they're on the higher end. You're going to pay at least $1,200, $1,500. If you can't afford that, you know, go to your local library. They usually have a telescope. Look at Jupiter. You can watch this in the course of an evening. You can see Jupiter's red spot. Jupiter orbits very rapidly in about 10 hours. So in the course of an evening, you're going to be able to see at least half of Jupiter's rotation over the course of, 5 hours or whatever. You can actually see Jupiter's red spot moving across the disk. And you can see as it gets toward the edge, that elongated football-shaped storm system is going to get cut off as it goes around, to the edge of the planet. Now it's going to be half of a football and then just a quarter of a football. If the night is long enough, you'll be able to see eventually it will emerge on the other side. And you can see it now a quarter of a football, a half of a football, and then finally you'll see the whole football shape of it. Jupiter is a sphere, ladies and gentlemen. It is a sphere. Then you look at Saturn. If you have a really nice, powerful telescope, you can see Saturn's moons, just like Jupiter's moons. You can see those moons going around the thing. You can actually see the shadows of the moons crossing in front of Saturn and in front of Jupiter. You can see that they go behind the planet, and then you can watch as they emerge from the other side. I've done this. Usually, it takes too long in the course of one evening to see the moons go behind the planet and then emerge on the other side. But I have seen Io, for example, which moves the quickest. I've seen it cross over the disk of Jupiter. I've watched it cast shadows. I've seen it disappear on one side. The next evening, I've seen you know, the moon appearing from the other side or one of its other moons. You can actually take time-lapse films. You take a photo every, you know, couple hours, and then you run it back, and you can see the goddamn satellites orbiting around Jupiter. You can see them orbiting around Saturn. These moons are spheres. The planets are spheres. If you look at the moon, which I've done on many occasions, and you need to do it not only when it's in full phase. Actually, the best time to view it is when it's in partial phase, because when it's in full, you don't get relief. You don't get shadows. You don't see mountains standing up. It's, you know, people think the best time is, you know, to look at the moon in binoculars or a telescope is when it's full. No, actually, that's not true. The best time is when it's in partial phase. But anyway, when you look at the moon, the craters in the center of the disk are round. But when you look at the edge of the moon, especially when there's relief and shadows playing, you see that the craters on the limb, on the edge of the moon, listen very carefully, the craters on the edge of the moon are elongated. They're stretched out, kind of like football shape, right? That's because those craters are being seen almost edge on a rounded surface. They look stretched out, whereas if you were able to see them from above, overhead, perpendicularly, they would look round, just like the craters in the center of the lunar disk, which you are looking at from straight on overhead, look round. They look round because they're in the center and you're looking straight down into them, but the craters near the limb look elongated because the fucking lunar surface is fucking round. So on the edge of the limb of the moon, they look elongated. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? If the moon was fucking flat, all the craters would look the same shape. They're only elongated when you look at them on the edge of the moon. The moon is a sphere. It is round. Not a flat round circle, a round globe, a three-dimensional round sphere. Simple observations that you can do with your own eyes will show this to you. You can do it with the sun, and God damn it, make sure you have a good filter on your telescope. But you can observe the sun rotating, and you can see what are called sunspots, these dark spots on the surface of the sun. They're actually slightly below the surface, but that's another story. According to plasma cosmology, you're looking at the surface of the sun where there's breaks in the plasma sphere. But nevertheless, whatever. You can see these sunspots circling as the sun rotates. The sun rotates like all other astronomical bodies. The Earth rotates, the Moon rotates, although we don't see the Moon rotate because it's locked into a geocentric orbit around the Earth, which is common to a lot of other moons in the solar system. But in any case, all bodies rotate as well as orbit. And you can see this with your own goddamn eyes. You can see sunspots moving across the sun's disk, and eventually they'll disappear around the other side. Later, they'll reemerge. You can see this over and over again, circling around, circling around. The sun is not a flat fucking disk. It is a sphere. The moon is not a flat fucking disk. It's a sphere. Jupiter isn't a flat fucking disk. It's a sphere. You can see, again, people that fall for this have never looked through a telescope, I guarantee you right now, including the ones making these videos. They've never done it. If you've done it, there's no room for question. There's no room for doubt. You listen to these people and you realize it's pathetic, guys. You're being suckered, okay? You can write me off right now and say, okay, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. He's a shiller. Fine. Don't listen to me. I don't give a shit. But I'm telling you now, you're being suckered. And they're making a monkey out of you. if you can see this with your own eyes, I hope you'll do it. Take me up on it. Look at Jupiter. Look at its red spot disappear as it gets to the one edge, and then you can see it reappear around the other edge. You can do this night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year. You will see that Jupiter is round. It has to be. It couldn't be otherwise. Saturn, the same fucking thing. You'll see its moons going around in circles over and over and over and over and over. Circular orbits by circular, or should I say by spherical objects. There's no question. Everything is a sphere. So if you believe in the flat Earth, you have to believe that somehow the Earth is the only exception to this rule. Everything else that we can see around us is round, but not the Earth. You don't need to be a scientist. You don't need to know trigonometry or geometry, or you don't need to have high-tech, sophisticated equipment. Your own powers of perception with your own eyes looking at these objects through a telescope will tell you you're dealing with spheres. Are you honestly going to tell me that you think the Earth is the only exception to the rule? The Earth is flat? And are you going to believe that the sun is only 3,000 feet in the air? Holy fucking shit. We've sunk to new lows, ladies and gentlemen. They're making monkeys out of that. I'm not saying that the people who produce these videos, you know, if Kyle sends me that, I'm certainly going to look at it. Yeah. And I might do an addendum to the show and refute all of his points. But, when I say be open-minded and realize we've been lied to about everything, you need to be open-minded. Yeah, you need to scrutinize everything we've ever been told. But guys, every lie has truth mixed in with it. Sure, they're lying to us about a lot of stuff, about a lot of things pertaining to science, a lot of things pertaining to astronomy. NASA's one of the biggest bullshitting agencies in the federal government. We never went to the fucking moon. We couldn't possibly have gone to the moon in 1969. With technology that couldn't even compete with your modern wristwatch. It was admitted in 1965 that the technology to reach the moon didn't exist then. What major development took place 5 years later that made us able to traverse those barriers that were preventing us in 1965? There was nothing, nothing. NASA just admitted 6 years ago in 2008. That we won't be able to return to the moon until they can develop a technology that will enable man to safely traverse the Van Allen belts. Well, what the fuck? How did they do it six times, supposedly? You know, beginning in 1969, and there were six missions, we're told, that went to the moon. How were they able to do it then if they admit in 2008 that they didn't have the technology and wouldn't have it, they said, until at least 2020? So, yes, we're bullshitted about a whole lot of things. A lot of these pictures, you know, sent back by the planetary spacecraft have been monkey. But not everything that they've been telling us is a lie. This is stuff you can confirm with your own eyes. For those that want to say, and a lot of the flat earthers do say, that the moon is only round because it's a flat disk. What a crock of fucking shit that is, ladies and gentlemen. It's a crock of shit. Okay, let's pretend for a minute that they're right. The moon is a flat disk. The sun's a flat disk. Neptune's a flat disk. Uranus, Mercury and Venus and Jupiter and Mars, on and on it goes. Every time you look at these objects in a telescope, you can clearly see they're round. But according to the flat earthers, they're round and flat. Okay, why is it then? My dearly duped friends, why is it that you don't see any of these round, flat disks edge on or in an oblong position relative to their position facing Earth? Do you see my point? How is it that all of these flat disks all just happen to be facing the Earth so that we only see them in their perfectly round state instead of some being tipped at an angle looking like footballs? Some being edge on, so we just see straight lines. God fucking damn it. So is the sky flat too? And all of these circular flat disks are stuccoed to the flat surface of the flat sky so that they're all seen as perfectly round? Do you see my point? At what point do you realize that this fucking thing isn't adding up? And how do you account for the fact that you can see Jupiter's red spot clearly circling around on a daily basis, disappearing from one side and reappearing from the other if it's a flat disk? Explain that one. Hello? Seriously, please, please do question everything. Do realize we're being lied to about all kinds of shit, but maintain some degree of sanity. Get yourself a telescope and observe for yourself. Don't watch fucking YouTube videos all day. There are some things you just got to do on your own. And then when you do that, your own eyes will not deceive you. And you won't be so easily led down dead-end roads with stuff like this. I'm telling you guys, the flat earth thing is bullshit. You've been suckered. Yeah, there are some things they told us that don't add up. But that's not the conclusion to draw. Draw another one. Look for some other explanation. The flat earth doesn't stand up. You can get on an airplane. People do it all the time. You can look at your goddamn compass, guys, the whole flight, and see that you went in essentially a straight line. Sometimes they, you know, when they head east to go to China from New York, your compass might change bearing a little. You're going to head northeast because sometimes it's easier to do that because of the curvature of the earth. Yes. But nevertheless, you're going to be heading in essentially an eastern direction if you leave from New York heading to China. You can do the same thing, leaving an airport from L.A., for example, to go to China. Bring your compass. On some occasions, you're going to be heading northwest instead of completely west, but you're going to still be heading in a westerly direction. How can you reach China heading west from California, heading east from New York, and wind up there on either one of those flights? If the earth is flat, think about it, please. Thank you. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
Being lied to. We're being exploited. We're being robbed. We're being poisoned. We're being led to the slaughter. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Sooner or later, we're going to have to rise up and free ourselves from this tyranny. Separate, we are weak, but together, we are stronger than you can imagine. Get to know your local community while you network with the world. The awakening has begun. We will not be stopped.